perhaps you would like to turn with me to the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. The book of Judges, the sixth chapter. I would like to commence reading at the 11th verse. The book of Judges, the sixth chapter, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezite, and his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and flesh he put in a basket, and he put broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. And take the second bullock, and offer the burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. And the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet in Ebenezer and gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. I suppose one of the things that is so sad today, and perhaps has been seen manifest in the lives of believers for some time, is the indifference to the conditions of things that prevail amongst the saints of God, to the condition of things that prevail in the church of God. So easy to drift along in this world and to be unmoved by all that happens amongst that which professes Christianity. I don't mean that we should be irritated by these things or agitated by them, but I believe that we should see these things as they present themselves to us, that the condition that prevails we shouldn't be oblivious to. How often it is that needs are there, but they're not seen. How often there's difficulties that are there, but they're not heeded. Or as we look back into the Word of God, I think we can see their encouragement for our souls in days of difficulty and days of trial. Oh, but some might say, I don't see these days of difficulty and of trial. Well, then perhaps one is been blinded by the things that are round about us, that these things are not seen. For there has always been in the pathway of saints of God difficulties and trials and problems. Always. I'm not speaking of any specific thing at this present moment. I'm speaking of the pathway of faith. And all along that pathway, there are trials and there are testings. As we go back into the Word of God, we see in this day that is brought before us a very difficult and a trying day for those who would be men of faith. Those who would be women of faith. Yes, it's for those who would go on in the Christian pathway or the pathway of faith. It is those that are going to feel the difficulty of the pathway. If this world holds so many things for me, then I'm going to be oblivious to these needs and to these difficulties and to these circumstances that cross the pathway of the saints. What sort of a day was it that we're brought into in this book of the Judges? We only have to go back to the beginning of the book and see there how that after God had brought them into that land of promise, and every man had had his inheritance there, and he should have gone into it in all the fullness of it, but we know that there was even failure in that day to possess all that God had given. Does we see there how that God, having given to his people, fulfilled his promises concerning that promised land, then we see failure begins to come in. Immediately, we find that Israel get connected with the people of that land. There's an association that brings about a defilement, and in the course of it brings about a separation from them and their God, who had been so faithful to them over those years in bringing them out of the land of Egypt and into the land of promise. So there was unfaithfulness that was seen there straight away on the part of those who were God's earthly people. Yes, and in that we find that there was affliction that was brought upon them. Unfaithfulness to God, unfaithfulness to him in testimony and in service will bring upon ourselves the hand of God. But it was brought upon them by these very people. God used these very people that they failed to remove from that land of promise to be the rod of his chastening. So we see there that in the very beginning of this passage of Holy Scripture, the book of the Judges, how that God's hand, chastening hand, was going out upon those who had been unfaithful to him. Oh, how it encourages our heart when we read, "But God is faithful." Yes, he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Faithful in every way toward his earthly people Israel, and faithful to you and I in this dispensation of his grace. God is faithful that has called us unto the fellowship of his Son. He cannot be unfaithful. He cannot deny himself. Here as we find this company of God's earthly people, we find them here under the chastening hand of God. But then they cry unto him. They cry unto him in their need as they feel that chastening of God. They cry unto him. And he raises up a deliverer. We find that God raises up a deliverer and comes in a mighty way in the person of Othniel. Then he comes in again in Ehud. And he comes and delivers God's people out of the hands of these who were afflicting them. The very ones that they had failed to drive out of that land. Oh yes, how important it is that we take God's word, take it as it were by both hands, make it our own, that in this world we might seek to be faithful to him. But in this condition of unfaithfulness, know how it spreads. And as we see in the history of this people, in the day in which the judges ruled and judged Israel over that perhaps long period of time, we see that there was this continuous unfaithfulness going into this world and into the world system and into the world's religions. And time again, they were brought down very, very low under the chastening hand of God, but raised up when they owned their sinful condition before him. Oh yes, that if in failure we turn to that one, that blessed one, who can help us and meet our need, then he'll lift us up again. This is not a book of despair at all. This is a book to encourage our hearts, because when man came to his senses, to his realization of what he had done in his unfaithfulness to God, then God would come in a mighty way and deliver. That's encouragement, isn't it? That God will still hear his children in days of adversity and trial, in days of failure, that he will hear and he will come in. Yes, God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. So in this wonderful book of Judges, we find Israel coming down to its very lowest ebb. We come to a day when a woman judged Israel. I believe in Scripture, when we find a woman out of her place, out of God's order of things, I think it suggests to our hearts that this is the lowest condition, morally and spiritually, to which we can come. There is nothing said outside of the book of Judges about Deborah. Now, I'm not suggesting in any way that this woman was acting out of the course of God's purpose. But I believe here, because of the low moral and spiritual condition of the whole of Israel, that there was not a man there that could deliver Israel out of the hand of its enemies. This is nothing to do with the church of God. This is nothing to do with God's order in the church of God. We find here, in this day when the judges ruled, and this day of moral and spiritual degradation, we find that there was a woman judging Israel. Barak? What sort of a man was Barak? We find here he was a man of weakness. The word of God had come through Deborah, had spoken to him, and here he was, a fearful man, trembling at the word of God. And he desires Deborah to go up with him, to go with him into battle. He hadn't the courage to go. And yet, you know, we see the wonderful grace of God in this, that in the reading in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, we find there that this man's name is mentioned among those worthies, those men there spoken of us as a cloud of witnesses of faithfulness to God. Yes, Gideon is there, and Barak is there, but Deborah is not there. Rahab is there. We see the grace of God and the wisdom of God in these things. Well, we must pass on to the other verses that we've read together. But before we do that, let us say that we're not unmindful of those godly women in Israel who knew their place and acted before God in a wonderful way of faith and testimony. We can think of the Sarahs and the Hannahs. We can think of Rachel. We can think of many in the Old Testament scriptures there who were women of God. And in the New Testament scriptures, those who ministered to our blessed Lord, and those who done to him that which met his need at that present time, of which the gospel, wherever it is preached, would be spoken of that one. Oh, let us never think for one moment, because God has an order of things concerning women regarding the testimony that God has set them aside. He has not. God has given them a place of honor, indeed, in his word. Why, they minister even to angels as they look down, their testimony speaking to them. How wonderful then that God has given each one in this day, indeed, in this day of his grace, both man and woman, brother and sister in Christ, given us a place in the testimony, a place of honor, a place that will glorify his own beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Coming again to this wonderful story regarding Gideon, we find that the angel of the Lord, and surely this was none other than Jehovah himself, that had come down to this place and sitting under this oak. And here he'd come down to meet with a man who was going to be a mighty deliverer for Israel. We find here in this passage of Scripture that God himself, Jehovah himself, would come down. Previously, regarding Othniel and Ehud, God raised them up. One remarks that it doesn't say that about Deborah. But here, God has come down himself, Jehovah himself, and he's speaking to his servant Gideon. What was Gideon doing? He was thrashing wheat. We might ask ourselves the question, have we been thrashing wheat today? Have the saints of God been thrashing wheat? This is not a gimmick. When we come down to the spiritual application of these things, would not this speak to us of the word of God that presents to us our Lord Jesus Christ? I believe it would. I believe that this thrashing out, getting the very kernel for oneself, it's the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see there that Gideon was a man that though all this had come upon Israel and upon his father's house, no doubt, that all were feeling the power and the pressure of the enemy that was round about, this man was thrashing wheat. And not only was he thrashing wheat, he was thrashing it in order to hide it from the enemy. In John chapter 12, it speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ as a corn of wheat, falling into the ground and dying. If it doesn't die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He's spoken of then as the corn of wheat. Well, can we not apply that? Can we not apply that spiritually to ourselves in the thrashing of this wheat in order that he might get the kernel from the straw? That it's getting something of our Lord Jesus Christ for our souls. The importance of this, my brother and sister, it cannot be overestimated that we gather up day by day that which would sustain us and maintain us here in this scene. We go to the book of Ruth, we find that when Ruth came back with Naomi, she was gleaning in the field of Boaz. She was gleaning there, barley, at the commencement. Here we have a man that is gleaning wheat. Perhaps barley would speak to us of the manhood. Perhaps the wheat would speak of his deity. I'm not pressing this. But surely it does have a spiritual application to your heart and to mine that in this, that they were thrashing out for themselves, in which that they were finding something to maintain and sustain them here in this world, where there was poverty, where there was a dearth in Ruth's day, or had been. Here, it was the enemies of the children of Israel that had taken away taken away those things that they valued and needed most in this life. And now this man, this mighty man of valor, we might say to ourselves, what? This man, a mighty man of valor? Yes, but we've got to look at this in the way that God looks at it. He'd come down and he'd looked into the life of that man as he saw him there, and he saw him as a mighty man of valor. You know, when Samuel went down to the house of Jesse, he looked upon the sons of Jesse and he said, surely God has chosen this. No. And then he looked upon another and he said, surely he's chosen this. The way we see things is entirely different way to the way in which God sees things. And as he was there, Jehovah was there, coming down to his servant to make him a deliverer for his people, he saw what was in that man's heart. He saw what was in his life. God looketh not on the outward man, but he looketh in the heart. Here he saw a man that was suited to him to deliver these people out of the hand of his enemies. Maybe some young brother or some young sister here, that God would take them up and use them in a mighty way amongst his people. Perhaps he would have some young brother to take perhaps a more active part in concerning the Lord's things. Perhaps the silent mouth might be opened and speak forth the word of God. Perhaps there might be some step in giving thanks to him, which would encourage the hearts of all the saints. No doubt that God was going to encourage Israel in a mighty way through this man, least of his father's house. Oh, how the Gideon would seek to make excuse for himself. Moses did. There's others have made excuse before God why that they should not do this very work to which they've been called. God chooses whom he will have to serve him. It's not through colleges and education and such like that God is going to choose his servant. One that fears him, one that is of a contrite spirit and trembleth at his word. Yes, that's the sort of person that God will take up and use in a mighty way to serve him and bring about, perhaps, deliverance for his people. I believe, you know, that if there is a turning to God on the part of his people, if there's a confession of failure and weakness and breakdown, and if there's reality in our hearts, God will send along some that will minister the word in mighty power amongst us and lift us up from the condition in which we're found. I'm not speaking now of another Pentecost, but I do believe this, that God honours faithfulness, and he says, them that honour me will I honour. And if there is this seeking after him, then God will graciously and wondrously come in. Here was a deliverer for Israel. I don't suppose for one moment, when this man was thrashing wheat, that he thought that this one that had come and sat under the oak was going to commission him to this service of delivering Israel. Neither do any of you in this room, or myself either, think for one moment that God is going to use us in a mighty way here in this scene. But I believe he can. I believe he can. I believe he has in the past. And when there's been a moral and spiritual decline in the past, God has heard his people, and he has raised up a deliverer. All that these things might concern us, that they might inspire in our hearts a desire to see some measure of recovery in this last and closing day of the church's history here on earth, and a manifestation of faithfulness
to our Lord Jesus Christ. When all around us is unfaithful, God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. So we see this man in this sixth chapter, man Gideon, whom God is speaking to. We find that as he begins to make these excuses before God, God gives him this word of encouragement. I have sent thee. I have sent thee. Oh, how my mind would go back to that first chapter of Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. And we see there a young man that had followed Moses and followed most faithfully. When others had lied about the promised land, he stood firm and uttered the truth. And he said, we can go up. We can possess it. God honored him for his faithfulness. There was a young man called Timothy that followed with the Apostle Paul. We see perhaps there are a parallel between these two. When that moment came that Joshua heard those words of God, his heart must have melted within him. Moses, my servant, is dead. And there is this vast host of people that have come out of Egypt. And they're left to his charge. But what was the word? As I was with Moses, so am I. An encouragement for our hearts that God is with us and his promises are the same. Nothing has failed of the word that he has spoken, of all that he has said. Nothing has fallen to the ground. No, he's proved to Israel his faithfulness. He's proved it to you and I. But he wants us to answer to it, that we might walk here in this scene before him, not only in love, but in truth and in faithfulness, that we might be here to his praise and his glory. Follow this man. He wasn't perhaps a man that was strong in faith, but he was a man that feared God. And God was going to encourage his faith. Oh yes, even the gift of faith comes from God. God was going to encourage this man. Mighty man of valor, I am with thee. God was going to encourage his heart. We see him, Gideon, with this fleece. And he says, well, now if thou talkest to me, I want to put this fleece upon the ground. I want everything to be dry round about it. I want to wring it out in the morning. I want it to be wet. We find that Gideon done this, and according to his word, so God brought it about. And then Gideon desired that it might be the other way round, and God brought that about. Do you think God was going to alter his purpose regarding these things? If there may be failure in our hearts to grasp fully the word of God and to take him at his word, yet God, if his purpose to use us in some way, he will persevere. He will keep on until we do that which he desires. You might say, you certain? Yes. Look at the life of Jonah. There was a man that did everything possible, we might say, to avoid doing that very thing that God wanted him to do. But he had to do it in the end. God will have his way with man. God will bring his purposes to fruition. And here in this man, Gideon, though he may speak of his weakness, though he may speak of his position in his father's house, yet God will take him up and use him. What a comfort to our hearts. For we're all creatures of failure. We all in some measure or other, perhaps lack that faith at some important time when we should indeed be a vital and an important witness for our blessed Lord here in this scene. Oh, how important it is that our faith should rise above circumstances and rise above the surroundings in which we're found. Oh, that our faith and hope might be in God at all times. There may be no wavering. Wavering there was indeed in many of the servants of God in Old Testament times, and that of new. We think of those disciples in that ship. What did the Lord say? O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Men of little faith, disciples who followed the Lord Jesus, heard his word, saw his miracles. Men of little faith, yes. And how often that is true of us. Yet we see the wondrous grace of our God coming out to us in the midst of our weakness and the midst of our unfaithfulness. We see him bringing about his purposes of blessing upon us each one and exalting the person and the work of his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For all that is written in the Word of God is that which might exalt that blessed one, that might bring him before our hearts. Oh, how that God would warm and cheer our hearts with his own beloved Son. Here we find this man, as it were, speaking in this way to God, asking some token, we might say, or some proof that God was with him. We should never do that, I don't think. I believe that we should accept God at his word and what he's asked us to do, what he's shown us we ought to do. Then we ought to take him at his word and as obedient servants do that which he desires. But as we follow this man Gideon, there was something there that was a hindrance. Maybe it is so with us each one that in our life and testimony there comes a hindrance. He'd found acceptance with God in that offering that he'd set up. The altar that he'd set up, the unleavened cakes, and the flesh that he'd bought, and God had accepted it. We find there that with his staff he touched it and consumed it. But the broth, there was no place for that. That, I believe, was unaccepted. That was poured out upon the ground. That was gone. But that which God could accept, he accepted and took it, as we might say. And here, this man surely had assurance that God was with him. But there was this problem of his father's house. There was this a difficulty of the altar of Baal. And there was the grove that was beside the altar. These things had to be removed. John, in John's epistle, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And how it was here that this man who feared God, there's no doubt about it, as regard Gideon, because God has not taken up someone here who has no thought, no care for him. He's taken up a man here who was a man in his eyes, in the eyes of God, reverently speaking, a mighty man of valor. And he's taking him up. He's going to use him in this mighty way. But what has got to be removed? The hindrance. And it is so with us, beloved brother and sister, that those things would hinder and impede the testimony, they have to be done away with. What was it? Idolatry in this case. And wasn't that the thing that was the scourge of Israel every time that God had come in this mighty way and delivered them? There was this going back to the gods of this world, to the gods that man had made, and to be involved in these things. Oh, the world and the religious world is ever offering out a hand to the believer today, seeking that he might grasp it. Oh, that we might have the spiritual wisdom to see what the enemy is doing and turn aside, turn away from these things. Here, the altar had to be pulled down that was for Baal. The grove had to be removed. The bullock had to be offered up upon that altar. And then the Spirit of God could work in the life of this man. For it says there that the Spirit of God came upon him. Oh yes, the Spirit of God came upon those Old Testament saints. He didn't indwell them, but he came upon them and used them in a mighty way to the glory of God. That which was evil and opposed to God had to be removed. It was removed, not in the daytime, in the night. You see, he was weak, in a way. He hadn't the courage to do it in the daytime. He did it in the night. Remember that man Nicodemus? He came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. But when, in that future day, when our blessed Lord had been slain upon that cross of Calvary, when men had taken him by wicked hands and nailed him to that cross of wood, and when he, having finished and accomplished that work that brought glory to God his Father, we find that there was two men that came to that cross. They came to Pilate and they begged the body of Jesus, and that which they did was out in the open. It was for everybody to see. It wasn't in the dark then, it wasn't in the night. Faith had blossomed out in the heart and in the life of Nicodemus. And here it was with this man Gideon, how that God had wrought mightily in his heart, and the Spirit of God was upon him, and he was gathering Israel together. Why? Because there was going to be a mighty deliverance, and God has said he would deliver Israel as one man. Wonderful indeed the way that God works. Here he'd come to his servant. Here he'd commissioned his servant for the task. No matter what his failures were, God has taken him up. Aren't you glad that God has taken you and I up, just as we were, wretched and undone? We had no right, no place before him, but he's taken us up. And he's taken us up. He's given us place and position. And he'll give us glory in a future day. But now, he's called us to testify here in this world to his own beloved Son. And as we're conscious and made conscious by the Word of God of all that is around us, it is that we might perhaps deliver ourselves out of this condition of things in which we find ourselves in this present day. How? We might start by doing a bit of thrashing, like this man Gideon. We might start there. The wine press of joy was right at the side of this man. But there wasn't much joy in Israel in that day. There's going to be joy in a future day. There's joy for you and I now, here in this scene. But here is this man, thrashes out and hides away from the enemy, makes it his own. This is the thing that we need to get a hold of, to make the Word of God our own, to live in the Word of God day by day. Wasn't that the word to Joshua? When God said to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so am I with you." He said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy heart. Meditate in it day and night. Wasn't that the gist of what he said? Oh, if we only made the Word of God such to ourselves in this present day, what a difference it would make in our lives. What a power there would be in our lives. I'm not standing here as one that is setting oneself up as an example of this. I'm telling you what the Word of God presents to us, and how that it should speak to every one of us here in this room. that God might want to use us in a mighty way in this present day. He might want to lift us up above all that is around about us, and he'll do it through his own precious word. And when our hearts are ready and responsive to him, then the gracious Holy Spirit will use us in the way, in the purposes of God, and for his glory. What encouragement Timothy had from the Apostle Paul. He said, study to show thyself a workman approved. And Peter speaks of those holy men of old who spake these things that we're reading now, these things that we're considering. They were holy men, and they spoke these things. Oh, how that we ought to take them up, and take them up for ourselves, and make them our own. Well, as we look at this man Gideon, and we look at his history, we can see here how that God was working out his purposes in this man, and giving him a place in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, setting him up as a witness to you and I. A great cloud of witnesses are spoken of there. All that we might answer to it in a realistic way. We might answer to it in faith, that we might be here while the Lord is leaving us here. How long? We do not know, for we are waiting that moment. We hear an expectancy of the coming of our blessed Lord and Saviour. But God is faithful, and he's called us to a pathway of faithfulness to his own beloved Son.